Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Faith Follows. A disciple is a follower of Christ. A true saving faith follows Christ. To be a true believer is to be a true follower. It doesn't follow perfectly, but it does certainly. To be a true believer results in being a true disciple. In John 8, 30, 31, it says this, As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, If you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. There's an interesting play on words between verse 30 and 31. In verse 30, it says many claim to believe in him, but then in verse 31, it clarifies that they simply believed him, perhaps indicating that they merely had an intellectual assent deficient of truly believing in him. To them, Jesus makes this major qualification. He tells these professing believers, quote, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Right here, Jesus makes one of the most important qualifiers about true saving faith that we find in the New Testament. In John 8, 31, when Jesus says, If they abide in his word, they are his disciples indeed, he is saying that those who continue in his word are truly his disciples. Their continuance proves them to be the genuine article. As the story in John 8 continues, it clearly shows these did not continue on in Christ's word. In fact, they immediately sought to refute it. Charles Ryrie says, Believed is likely only a profession because of what they said in verse 33. NIV Study Bible. Believed here seems to mean made a formal profession of faith. Their words show that these people were not true believers. And Leon Morris says, This section of discourse is addressed to those who believe and yet do not believe. Clearly, they were inclined to think that what Jesus said was true, but they were not prepared to yield to him the far-reaching allegiance that real trust in him implies. These are like professors in the book of Hebrews. See Hebrews 6 and 10, who may have stopped short of true saving faith. It is important to know that mere profession is not necessarily saving faith. There is a sort of faith that stops short of true saving faith. James referenced this when he spoke of faith without works. James 2. In the parable of the sower and the soils, Jesus talks about those who believe for a while, but then, in time of testing, fall away. Luke 8, 13. They immediately receive the word with joy, but they have no root. It doesn't really take root in their heart, and consequently, when their faith is tested, it immediately falls away. Matthew 13, 21. The genuine converts, represented by the good soil, are those who receive the word with a good heart and bear fruit with perseverance. Luke 8, 15. The genuine continue. That is Christ's point in John 8, 31. Those that abide, that is, continue in his word, are his disciples indeed. We are not saved by discipleship. We are saved by faith alone. However, if we have a saving faith, it follows. Not perfectly, but certainly. It continues on in Christ's word. John 10, 26 and 27. Jesus says, But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The true sheep follow Christ. These are true believers. A kind of faith that doesn't follow is bogus. This, by the way, is the essence of easy believism. Easy believism says you can believe in a saving way without following. That is contrary to Christ. Again, we're not saved by following, but if we truly have a saving faith, we will follow. Following is the result, not the means of salvation. W. E. Vine said, faith that saves produces discipleship. Passing impulses do not make disciples. 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Abiding in Christ's word is the mark of those who are his disciples indeed, in truth. To walk away from Christ's word is to walk away from him. the genuine continue on in the doctrine of Christ. J. Vernon McGee said, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It will produce something. After a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will want to continue in his word. As the pastor of a church, I learned to watch out for the person who is active in the church, but is not interested in the study of the word of God. Such a one is dangerous to the church. John 13, 34, 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is the defining trait of true disciples of Christ. And the Apostle John in 1 John 3:14 shows that love of the brethren is proof that we have passed from death to life. 1 John 4:7 and 8 says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. True believers are true disciples, which demonstrates itself in brotherly love. John MacArthur says, all Christians are disciples. Disciples is used as a synonym for believers in Acts. And he gives a whole host of references. However, not all disciples are Christians. End of quote. In the early days of the church, it says, the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly, Acts 6, 1 and 7. Paul, upon his conversion, tried to, quote, join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple, Acts 9, 26. In Acts 9, 36, it speaks of, quote, a certain disciple named Tabitha who died, and it goes on to say, quote, the disciples heard that Peter was there, Acts 9, 38. Clearly, the word disciple is here used in the sense of a true believer. In Acts 11, 26, it says, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Up to this point, they were simply called disciples, but now they were called Christians. In Acts 11, 29, it says, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief. Again, the believers are referred to as disciples. In Acts 14, 20, after Paul was stoned and left for dead, it says, quote, the disciples gathered around him. In Acts 14, 22, Paul went about, quote, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Upon coming to Antioch in Acts 14, 28, it says, quote, so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Disciples were those in the faith, and as so used in Acts, the word disciple is interchangeable with believer. At the Jerusalem Council, Peter challenged the Jewish believers, saying, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples? Acts 15, 10. In Acts 18, 23, it says, Paul was strengthening all the disciples. In Acts 18, 27, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive Apollos. In Acts 19, 30, when Paul wanted to go into the people, it says, quote, the disciples would not allow him. After the uproar at Ephesus had quieted down, Acts 20, verse 1 says, Paul called the disciples to himself. In Acts 21, 4, after landing at Tyre, it says, and finding disciples, we stayed 7 days. In Acts 21, 16, in reference to going to Jerusalem, it says, also some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us. The use of the word disciple, disciples in the book of Acts is significant because Acts is in effect a history book about the early church. Clearly, in the book of Acts, to be a believer was considered to be a disciple, which is consistent with the Great Commission given by Christ in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Note, the plain, straightforward sense and meaning of the word disciple as used by Christ in the early church indicates that, in fact, it was interchangeable with the concept of being a believer. To claim that a person can be a believer without being a disciple is foreign to what Christ taught and foreign to the language of the early church as seen in the book of Acts. If one doesn't have a faith that follows, it's bogus. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.